couple of weeks ago, Jeff, he told me that I was going to be preaching tonight, August the 13th. He said that there's a special meeting going on, so I'm going to need to keep the lesson short. After that, a couple more people said, "You're preaching on the 13th, right?" I was like, "Yeah." They said, "Well, we're having a special meeting after, so I'm going to need to keep the lesson short." So, suffice it to say, this is going to be a brief lesson. So I was thinking, I was in my office thinking, I was like, okay, what can I have a lesson on that takes 10 minutes? And then I was thinking longer to myself, I was like, well, what if I only had a limited amount of time to share the gospel message? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard of an elevator pitch? Anybody ever heard of that? You know, I didn't hear about that for a long time. I was actually waiting tables at Papado, and one of my guests asked me, well, what's your elevator pitch? I was like, I don't know what that is. He explained it. So it's like if you are applying for a job, and you are on your way to the interview, you walk into the elevator, and the CEO is in the elevator with you. Well, you've got a very limited amount of time to sell yourself. Well, that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to give you sort of my elevator pitch. If I had a limited amount of time to explain the gospel message to someone, well, how would we do that? How would I do that? So for the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to spend some time going through what I would do, I guess, if I had to share the gospel message with someone in a short amount of time. First of all, first thing that I would mention that God speaks to us. What I mean by this is God, he tells us the way that he wants us to live our lives. He isn't just some sort of passive God that doesn't really care. Brent talked this morning a little bit about how some people think that we can't know what God wants from us. That's completely untrue. God has laid out a plan for us. He has let us know his will for us in our lives. And God, he doesn't speak to us directly. He speaks to us through his word. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God. He cares about us. He tells us how we should live. For instance, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we should avoid adultery. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us that we should be honest people. He tells us that we should be neighborly. God tells us exactly how he wants us to live. And notice with me that God not only tells us how he wants us to live, he also has the right to tell us how he wants us to live. God has authority over us. Why? Because he created us. Paul in Romans 9, verse 21, he compares our relationship to God with the relationship that clay has to the potter. Let me give you an example. It's like my 11-year-old younger brother comes up and starts telling me what to do, you know, giving me commands. I can almost guarantee you he's going to get a gib slap back of the head. Almost guarantee that. Well, God, he has the authority to tell us how to live. When God gives us rules regarding morality, we should listen. When God tells us that he wants us to be honest and he wants us to be neighborly, well, that's what we need to do. God speaks, and if I had a very short amount of time to give a high-level overview of the gospel, that's one of the things that I would mention. Another thing that I would mention is that we sin. Now, someone may ask, well, what is sin exactly? Well, mention that God speaks, he tells us how he wants to live. Sin is whenever we go against that, whenever we violate God's will for us. And we sin. Now, some may ask, Reuben, is it really a big deal? Is sin really that important? I mean, I didn't kill anybody. I'm not in jail. I'm not doing hard drugs. Overall, I'm a good person. Is it a big deal? Of course it is a big deal. In the Old Testament, how many sins did it take for death to enter the scene. It took one sin. One sin in shedding the shedding of blood was necessary. Now someone might say, well, Reuben, that's the Old Testament. Well, that's true today. Romans 6 and verse 23 tells us that sin leads to death. The wages of sin is death. If our sin leads to death, well, then it's a very big deal. Now, someone may ask, well, how do I fix this? You know, if my sin leads to death, leads to eternal death, is there anything that I can do to save myself? My answer is no. But God saves. God has laid out a plan for salvation. Yes, our sin brings the punishment of death. But notice with me that Jesus, he made that sacrifice instead of us. But ultimately, the way that God saves us is by us being united with Jesus in death. We have to die with Jesus, figuratively. Don't forget to put the figuratively part at the end. You might confuse some people. But figuratively, we have to die with Jesus. Romans 6, starting at verse 5, says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that if our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin." Paul is telling us, in order to be raised with Christ, share in the resurrection, well, we have to be united with him in his death. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, let me argue that we must believe that Jesus died and was raised. If we're going to be united with Jesus in his death and resurrection, we've got to believe that he died and was raised. That's just a logical conclusion. Second, we've got to turn from our sins. We have to make sure we turn from our sins and live a new life. Romans 6 and verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" So we've got to turn from our sins. And we've got to be baptized into the death of Christ. Starting in verse 3, he says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." God saves us. And he saves us by us being united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Some people might close the book here. You know, close, that's good. You're set. You're good to go. But let me just argue that there's one more thing. We've got to excel. You know, this is a very high-level overview. There's not a lot of stuff that I could get up here and say in 10 minutes. So this 10 minutes is not enough. It's about the next 10 minutes and the next 10 minutes after that. We keep growing. Jesus, at the end of Matthew 5, he says, "I want you to be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect." What's he saying? Well, I want you to be mature. I want you to keep growing. Paul in 1 Thessalonians, he tells the church in Thessalonica, he says, "You guys are doing great. You're doing exactly as we told you." But what did he say? He said, "I want you to excel still more." Keep growing. If I had a limited amount of time to give somebody a gospel story, this is about where I would go. Just a big picture, overview. And someone might say, "Well, Reuben, we all know this. You know, why are you teaching this?" A wise older preacher used to say, things go from being spoken understandings to being unspoken understandings, to being unspoken misunderstandings, to being spoken misunderstandings. It's always good to go back to the basics. So let me just conclude by asking, what now? Maybe there's someone here who knows that they're living in sin and they have not been united with Jesus in his death and resurrection. Well, if you haven't done that, you can fix that right now. Or maybe there's someone here tonight who sort of closed the book after baptism. Haven't been growing, haven't been excelling. Maybe you've wandered away. You can fix that tonight also. Whatever you need, you can come now as we stand and as we sing.